It's good to be here tonight. It's good to be where the Spirit of the Lord is. Thank God, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And I've sensed that liberty not only tonight, but every time I've been in this place and with this church. Thank God for the good liberty of being in the presence of the Lord. Amen? Thank the Lord for the good weather tonight. And it rained cats and dogs at our house today. And I thought this meeting's going to be outside. We may all start building an ark. Amen. Thank God it's beautiful weather. Appreciate the Lord blessing the meeting as He has all week. If you've got your Bible with you tonight, and I trust you do, I'll ask you to stand and go to the book of 1 Samuel and find chapter number 6. 1 Samuel chapter 6. I want to take my text tonight out of this chapter. And we'll begin reading in verse 7. But I want to say a few things before we begin to read tonight. In 1 Samuel, the Ark of the Covenant, that place that was the physical manifestation of the presence of God, had been taken away. And let me say to you tonight that just like then, we need the presence of God. That ark had been removed in the presence of God, and God had chosen to manifest Himself where that ark was. And the Philistines had taken it back and they put it in their little temple. And they thought, well, I ain't supposed to be preaching yet, but I feel like I'm getting close. They thought they could put our God in the middle of all their gods. Kind of sounds like a crowd I know of in this hour. They thought He'll fit in good amongst the rest of our gods. And they didn't mind Israel having a God as long as He could find His place with their gods. But they found out something about our God is there is none beside Him. And when you go to propping one up beside Him, He's liable to push them down. And they came in and their God had been toppled over. Because our God just, He don't play well with other gods. And so the Philistines said, we've got to get Him out of here. Now, 1 Samuel chapter 6, and I wasn't going to read verse 2, but I want you to look at it. They had it half right in verse 2. And the Philistines called for the priests and the diviners, saying, what shall we do to the ark of the Lord? Now, watch this. Tell us wherewith we shall send it to His place. They didn't know what it was. But they got it right at the end of that sentence because it is a Him. We need to send it to His place. And they didn't know who He was. They thought He was an it. I got news for you tonight. The Holy Ghost of God is not an it. He is a He. He is a person. And He lives inside of our heart. That's why He can be quenched and grieved. He is a person. He's not an it tonight. They said, we've got to get Him out of here. Go to verse number 7, if you will. Here's what the priest and the diviner said. Now, therefore, make a new cart and take 2 milch kine. That just means milk cow. Boy, that relieved a lot of you rednecks that I went ahead and explained what that was right off the bat. You're welcome. I know, because I didn't know what it was when I read the first time either. Take 2 milch kine or 2 milk cows on which there hath come no yoke and tie the kine to the cart and bring their calves home from them. And take the ark of the Lord and lay it upon the cart and put the jewels of gold which ye return him for a trespass offering in a coffer by the side thereof and send it away that it may go. And see if it goeth up by the way of his own coast to Beth Shemesh. Then he hath done us this great evil. But if not, then we shall know that it is not His hand that smote us, and it was a chance that happened to us. We could stop and preach on fat chance that it was a chance. And the men did so and took two milch kine and tied them to the cart and shut up their calves at home. And they laid the ark of the Lord upon the cart and the coffer with the mass of gold and the images of their emrods. And the kine took the straight way to the way of Beth-Shemesh and went along the highway, lowing as they went. And turn not aside to the right hand or to the left. And the lords of the Philistines went after them under the border of Beth-Shemesh. And they of Beth-Shemesh were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley. And they lifted up their eyes and saw the ark and rejoiced to see it. And the cart came into the field of Joshua of Beth-Shemesh and stood there where there was a great stone. And they clave the wood of the cart and offered the kine a burnt offering unto the Lord. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you tonight for the Holy Ghost of God that lives inside of my heart. Dear Lord, I know beyond any shadow of any doubt that I cannot do what I've been asked to do tonight. I know that in my flesh, Lord, I cannot stand and properly preach the Word of God. But Lord, if you will enable us tonight, God, if you will help us tonight, then we will not only be able to preach it, but we'll be able to receive it. And God, not only those that are hearing it, but God, I myself will get help tonight if you'll help us in this place of need. I love you now. I love this place, and I thank you for it. Bless it now in Jesus' name. And all of God's people saying, amen. You can be seated. As we come tonight to 1 Samuel chapter 6, I find that it is a story of the presence of God being returned back to the people of God. I do not think it's light tonight. I do not think it's coincidence that this account is in 1 Samuel chapter 6. As you know, 6 in your Bible is the number of man. It is the number many times of man's own effort and of man's own ability. And certainly as we come to this text, we realize that this was not the proper way that God had designed for the ark to be moved. Can I get a witness right there? This was not the proper code. This was not the conduct that God had laid out for transporting the ark. But this is man's attempt at taking the ark back. Now, I could stop and say that it is in 2 Samuel chapter 6 that we also find the ark being moved once again, unlike God had said for it to be moved. Now, I do want to say tonight that I believe that what they stood in need of is what we stand in need of tonight, and that is the presence of God. The children of Israel were certainly aware that the presence of God had been taken away from them. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no sadder thing than to show up where God's supposed to be and there be no God where God's supposed to be. I've got a young man in my church got saved about 4 or 5 years ago, and he came to our place, and he and his wife was lost and undone without God. They got to hunting the church because they knew that they needed something, but he was still in it to them. They went to a little church up the road from us and said they went in there, and there was about 40 or 50 there, and said there was a professor from the local theological seminary up there preaching, and Brother Terry said he came down in the invitation, said he was broken, said he knew he needed God, but he didn't know how to get there. Said he went to the front of that little church and said everybody in there looked at him like he was crazy. And he laid on the altar for 15 minutes, and finally that little professor come over and said, "Son, what's wrong with you?" Terry looked at him and said, "Man, I was hoping you'd know what's wrong with me." He got up and went back to his seat embarrassed. And him and his little wife, about 2 weeks later, found their way down there to Greater Life, and Listen, I'm nothing great, but we've got a great God. I found out that if you get around God, He'll let you know what's wrong with you. Isn't it sad that sinners and saved folk alike all over this country are going to find God, but it seems like the presence of God is not in the place where it ought to be? And I want to say to you that God desires us to have His presence as much as we desire to have His presence. But I say tonight that there must be somebody who is willing to get the glory of God back in the place of God. Now, in our text tonight, God did not choose to allow a noble tribe of Levites to carry the ark of God. But God, in all of His grace, hallelujah, allowed the ark and the presence and the tangible glory of God, He allowed it to be carried by two old milk cows. Well, that ought to help somebody. I have found that there's some things that these milk cows had that you and I got to have if we're going to carry the glory of God. Now, I'll share them with you quickly. First of all, I want to say to you that these milk cows were unqualified. They were unqualified for the job that stood in front of them. First of all, we know that they were supposed to be Levites. But I ain't never seen no Levite cows, have you? And on top of that, if God was going to use an animal, why in the world, Brother Ken, I can understand had it been a horse or a mule or even an oxen that was designed to pull the load. But these old milk cows, they weren't used to a yoke. As a matter of fact, they'd never pulled anything. They was unqualified. But I tell you what I found tonight, that most of the time, the qualified is off somewhere talking about how qualified they are. And the qualified is off talking about how unqualified everybody else is. I'm glad tonight you ain't got to have a pedigree as long as your leg. You ain't got to have a resume. All you got to do is be willing to get under the Lord and go for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Old milk cow, what never made to pull anything. He was unqualified. But thank God, somebody said, God don't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. They, some of you sitting out here tonight, and you say, boy, I would shout, but I ain't no preacher. I would get up and give God praise, but I ain't no pastor. You better listen to me. If God could use two milk cows, don't you think He can use you tonight? They were unqualified. And then I find that not only were they unqualified, but I find that they were unexperienced. The Bible says that there were two milk kine, verse 7, on which there hath come no yoke. They never felt the pull of a yoke on their shoulders. They had never felt the tug of a load behind them. You know what I've noticed in my short life? Is that God very rarely asks me to do things that I think I'm good at. He'll always ask you to do things that you don't know how to do. Brother Ken, I remember when I got called to preach, I was just a young man in my early teens. I started preaching, and they told us that there's an opening to go to the nursing home, start preaching after church. And so, bless God, we started going to the nursing home. And then they told us that at 3 o'clock, we could go to the jail and preach in the county jail. So we started going to the jail and preaching. Bless God, I ain't much better now than I was then, but it's all I do to come up with one sermon a week. And we'd go down there and preach in the jail. I'm talking about back there in the bullpens where they've got them boys held for murder and all sorts of ungodly sins. We'd go back there and preach a house down, call them everything but a child of God, shout the glory, and whistle while we walked out the bar. But I ain't got time to get a jail sermon and an old folks sermon. I'd leave the jail, I'm telling you the truth now, I'd leave the jail, go to the old folks' home, and accuse them of things they couldn't have done. Can I get some help right there? I was preaching on sins, and they're all singing precious memories, how they linger. I was accusing them of stuff they couldn't have physically done. But bless God, I didn't know what I was doing, but I was doing my best. I had never been down that road before. I had never felt that load. But I want to say thank God that God had enough grace to let a preacher boy preach his heart out and let a preacher boy make a mess out of things. Listen to me. You ain't got to be good at it. You ain't got to know how to do it. Just know where God's calling you today. Unexperienced. They never had a yoke around their neck. But then I found, thirdly tonight, that they were unselfish. Now, we got some old boys in here that know about a milk cow. And there's one thing about a milk cow, and especially in these days, you had to keep a calf close by to keep them getting milk. And if you've ever come between mama and her calf, you're either quick or you've got a bruise to show for it. I promise you. Honey, she'll put you on top of the truck. Can I get a witness right there? You don't come between mama and that calf, because mama loves that calf more than she loves anything in the world. And you know what they did to these milk cows? I feel a little preach coming on right here. They took that calf, which is what mama loved more than anything in the world, and they shut that calf up at the barn. And they pointed mama the other direction. And they said, if she goes, it'll be God that makes her go that way. Because what she loves is locked up in that barn, and she ain't going to leave what she loves. If she does, then we're going to know this thing is a God. Well, do you want the glory tonight? Do you really want the presence of God tonight? I'm not talking about where it feels good in church. I'm talking about where the sure enough presence of God sits down on top of your life and you have meeting at the Waffle House just like you have it at God's house. I'm talking about where sinners know you ain't a Sunday morning only believer, but you're hooked up with God. Is that what you want tonight? You know what God's going to do? He's going to take what you love the most. He's going to lock it up. He's going to point you the other direction and say, do you want to stay at the barn with what you love? Or are you willing to go where you've never been, what you're not qualified for, what you never have done? Are you willing to leave what you love to go where I'm calling you? Brother Ken, there's a whole lot of folks that claim to want the glory, but they're not willing to walk away from what they love. God and I will ask you to leave everything you know. You say, I don't believe that. Tell Abraham that. You say, I don't believe that. Tell Moses that. You say, I don't believe that. If you're going to carry the glory of God, you've got to be willing to leave what you love at the house and walk away unselfishly in the other direction. Boy, that's a hard walk. But it's the walk that's got to be walked if you want to carry the glory of God. These cows were unselfish. And then, I want to say to you, number four, that these milk cows were under a load. The Bible says, if I can find it, verse 12, it says that as they went, down the highway. They were lowing as they went. Pulling the weight of that cart. Mooing all the way from the land of the Philistines to Beth Shemesh. I want to say to you tonight that in order to carry the glory of God, you've got to be willing to get under a load. I need a whole lot more help than that right there. You think that the presence of God is cheap? Do you think that the glory of God is a cheap thing? How many of you felt God around here this week? How many of you felt the Holy Ghost raise up in your heart when that young lady got born again Monday night? I'm here to tell you, there's about 400 acres of glory stirred up in my heart. Thank God. I'm here to tell you what we've got around here. It is not cheap. It is not free. It is not easy. There's been somebody that's been carrying the load. There's been somebody that's been lowing as they go. I'm talking about pulling a cart behind them that's heavy. But thanks be to God for those that are willing to low under the load. I just stop and talk church folk for a second. You know how easy it'd be for your preacher to get Laodicean and complacent in these last days? You know how easy it'd be for your preacher to sell out and start getting his outlines off the internet? Like the rest of this little liberal loose crowd that ain't spent 5 minutes in the Bible, wouldn't know the Holy Ghost if it showed up. You know how easy it'd be to go that direction. Well, you ought to thank God if there's a man of God lowing under the load down there where you are. I mean, you ought to thank God if there's somebody that said, this is a heavy load, it's a hard load, it's a cumbersome load, but thank God they dropped their shoulder, dig in, and keep on lowing down the road. Am I the only one tonight that can see them old milk cows leaving what they love? Got a yoke on them they never have felt before, and just all the way down the road. Any of you preachers ever felt like study all night, pray all week, beg God to show up, pull up at the church, and there's a woman with a tongue long enough to roll down the interstate and steal all your joy for you ever even step into the house of God? That's when you get your Bible, look to glory and say, somebody got to put their shoulder down and keep pulling this load. Somebody's got to say, we ain't going to live for a dollar. We're going to live for the Holy Ghost. Somebody got to say, we're glad we got a crowd, but if the crowd comes, amen. If the crowd goes, amen. We didn't come here for a crowd. We came here for a Christ. We came here for the presence of God. And if we got a then we just going to have to If I got a by myself, then I reckon I will. I ain't going to quit because it ain't easy. Low and as they went, missing home, missing that milking stall, missing that life of ease, but now they hooked up to something and they're on down the road. They're under a load. I'm trying to hurry tonight. I want to say to you that not only were they under a load, but I want to say to you that they were uninformed. Old cow didn't have a clue what was on that cart. Hallelujah. Old cow didn't know what was on that wagon behind him. All he knew was
He'd been put to doing something he'd never done before. And he loved something that he loved with all of his heart. But there was something inside of that old cow that wouldn't let him turn around and go back. Thanks be to God. That cow didn't know. I'm about to tear something up in there. That cow didn't know it was carrying the manifested presence of God on its back.
Old milk cow had no clue that God was riding on that wagon. Old cow didn't have no clue. Here's a token, the express presence of God Himself. He's uninformed. I want to say this tonight. I think that really, we're uninformed about what we're carrying. I mean, you think you know. I think I know. We think we know. But I tell you this, neighbor, when we get to glory, I think we're going to be real surprised how much we're really carrying as we walk this path below. Preacher, you feel like you're going to Wednesday night prayer meeting and you feel like you're just taking a little old thought down there to the sheet, but I got news for you. Keep on going because you got God on your wagon. Child of God, you go down there and give that tithe check and you got more months and you got money and power bills are going up and the mortgage is going up and you thank God, my little old 10% ain't doing nothing anyway. I won't tell you something, honey. The devil is a liar. You keep on giving to God's house. You keep on giving to God. There's more on your wagon than you know there is. Them cows were uninformed. But like this, they were undeterred. I find that in verse number 12, they were lowing as they went, and they turned not aside to the right hand, nor to the left. How many folks have you seen tonight tear out with God only to get sidetracked to the left or the right? Start fighting some fight that God ain't interested in. Well, I'm still preaching. Start fighting some fight that God ain't interested in. Get caught up with some cause that has no impact on the eternal plan of glory. Get upset at other folk and get out with somebody and getting hung up on the right and getting hung up on the left. I want to say tonight, I'm glad to be I can't speak for anybody else, but I'm glad tonight that I can say I'm hooked up with some men of God who ain't hanging out on the right. They ain't hanging out on the left. Somebody asked me, said, what circle do you run in? I said, I don't run in circles, because if you run in circles, you don't end up going nowhere. I ain't in no circle tonight. I'm under a load. I love some things I love. I'm going where God called me, and I'm glad to be going with folks who ain't hung up on the left and the right. I ain't trying to meddle. But somebody asked me, said, you really preach with a beard?
Yeah.
I said, hallelujah. I tell you this, I trimmed it for this meeting. I was trying to be sophisticated. But I tell you this, I hope some of them old legal starchy boys don't like it. I hope they call me, tell me not to come. Praise God, dear seasons next week. I'll shout glory to the stand all the way. Now, I ain't trying to be a smart aleck. I ain't trying to be a smart aleck. But if all the gods you got is worried about what somebody looks like, how low their hemline is, how high their hairline is, you better go hook up with God somewhere. I ain't living for the brethren tonight. The brethren didn't call up on the cross and die for me. Honey, there was a man named Jesus that laid down his life so I could be born again.
You say, that bothers me. Well, consider yourself bothered.
Brother Ken, we ought to print some t-shirts that says, I was bothered at Liberty Baptist Camp Meeting.
I didn't.
Them old milk cows wasn't hung up on the left nor the right.
I got news for you. If you ever leave some things you love to go serve Jesus, you won't be hung up on the left or the right either. They were undeterred. But then, I like this, verse 13.
I notice in verse 13, well, let's read it. And they of Beth Shemesh were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley, and lifted up their eyes, and saw the ark, and rejoiced to see it.
I want to say to you, these cows were unimportant.
Everybody still doing all right tonight? Why?
Oh, Lord. Honey, go check see how much gas is in that Honda.
These cows were unimportant. They'd left everything they loved. They'd passed up sweet grass on the right. They'd passed up fresh hay on the left. And when they got to the valley, there were some folks who'd been laboring in the field. And when they saw them, they didn't see them. They saw Him.
Well, you do got a King James Bible, don't you?
It says, and when they lifted up their eyes and saw the ark,
they rejoiced to see it. Didn't nobody say, well, praise God, here comes them two cows we love so much.
They didn't even get their name in Sunday's bulletin. Nobody put their name in a plaque on the end of the pew. I mean, they didn't even name the fellowship hall after.
Tell you the truth, nobody even noticed them. They said, glory to God. Here comes the ark. Praise God, it's showing up in this valley where I've been working. Thank God for the ark. And they started rejoicing when they saw the ark pull up.
You pastors, help me. You ever preach your ever-loving guts out? Spit your tonsil to the back wall and back? Sweat down to your socks? Pray 3 weeks? And some old sinner come out and get saved?
And they stand up the next week and testify and say, I don't even know what the preacher was preaching on.
I don't even know what he was saying. Well, dear God, I studied 6 days, 8 hours a day, and you don't even remember what I was saying?
That's a pretty good compliment, though, because you know what they're saying is? I was down there in my valley, and I was working in my valley, and the Ark of the Covenant showed up where I was. We're not important. Now, that ain't going to get me no show on TV, is it? But I'm not important. You're not important. Ain't none of us important. The only thing that's important is that the Ark and the glory of God shows up. Well, watch this. This is my last one. Watch this. Verse 14.
And the ark and the cart came into the field of Joshua Bethshemite and stood there where there was a great stone. Now, I didn't mean to say this, but I got to say it. Verse 18 says it was the great stone of Abel. History teaches us that this was a reminder of that blood sacrifice. Can I tell you that the glory of God will always come back to where the blood is being remembered?
That ain't my message, man.
and they clave, what's now? And they clave the wood of the cart and offered the kine,
that's cow, all you hillbillies,
a burnt offering unto the Lord.
Number 8, and my last one, they were unappreciated. Now, y'all got to help me.
If I was that cow
who left my calf in the barn, and I done passed up fields of sweet grass and hay, and I done brought the ark all the way down there, you'd think they'd at least have Cow Appreciation Day every October. Amen? You'd at least think they'd take up a love offering for that calf. I mean, you'd think they'd at least give them cows a gift certificate to Outback. Wouldn't you think they'd do that? But you know what they did? Them old cows come in the home. They come in the home spot. Been low and can still hear them calves crying back here in the background. And when they had run their race, some redneck hollered barbecue, and they killed them. They killed them cows and sacrificed them when they got to the end of their course. Now, what makes you think that me and you is any better than them? What makes us think that we're going to go out in a round of applause? Honey, this journey doesn't end till we step foot on the other side. There is no coasting in this journey. And you better be serving God tonight, not for the roar of the crowd and not for them hugs you get at the back door. And I hope that you ain't serving God tonight so somebody will stand up and brag on you. I hope that you're serving God tonight because the glory of God needs to get back in the place of God. And they're probably going to kill you after you've done all you can. But thanks be to God. This thing was never about us in the first place. It's about the presence of God being back where it belongs. Now, I'm done, but I want to say this. If God can take two old milk cows and let them carry His presence, don't you think He wants to use you tonight? Dear Lord, thank You tonight for Your goodness. God, thank You for loving us and saving us. God, I pray You'd give us a heart like them cows. God, may we just keep on a lowing and a pulling until we come into the home field. And God, I pray that up until our last day, that we'd be willing to give our lives as a living sacrifice. We love You, Lord, and we thank You in Jesus' name. Preacher.